How'd you thank the Lord for the meeting thus far?
Amen.
You know, when I got saved, we went to meet. Just that simple.
That's right, brother. You got it.
We just went to meet.
That's right.
I didn't care if you graduated from Liberty University. They used King James back then.
Right.
I didn't care if you graduated from Hiles Anderson. It didn't bother me. All these other pop-up shows, you know, the money rolls in. They didn't exist back 25 years ago. I didn't care if the guy graduated Crown College. I went to meet. I went to hear preaching.
Right.
Now it's got to be your flavor, or your buddy, or your friend. Everybody okay? Probably not. I said, we just went to meet.
That's right.
Listen, I heard men that are out of ministry today, defiled themselves in sin. They helped me in a time when I needed help. I've been around men that love God and with the Lord today. They helped me.
Imagine.
I've been around Brother Morgan. Amen. He's been a help to me.
Right. Amen.
And I said, I'm no John Morgan. I'm more calm, cool, collected, intellectual, you know, all those things. Just, I'm not John Morgan. Just me, very polished. You know, just ever since I met you, I thought, yeah, I'm going to polish. You and Rose, I thought, I'm going to put this polish up, you know. So I spent all these years just polishing up.
Yes, sir.
But I learned something. Hey, man, you go out in the cow pasture. Well, anyway. You can polish all you want, buddy. It's still what it is, eh? So don't get offended by that. Well, what I mean, brother.
Oh, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
Preach.
I said, we used to go to meet.
That's right.
Everybody wants revival, but it's only going to come on their terms, so God's not going to send it.
That's right, preacher.
Just so, yeah, let's go to John 14. We're going to turn a lot. If you're with us, you can sit and listen. That's fine. Doesn't bother me. Everybody says, you know, we have revival. It's going to come my way, our way, this way. I don't understand enough about revival to act like I even know any way impossible to have revival. I can read Ravenhill's book inside out. Revival still doesn't come.
Right.
It's a great work of God. If anything, it's of God.
Yes, sir.
Right.
And we need that. We need that more than anything else tonight. And I'm just trying to say, listen, I'm not trying to be crude or rude. It's not my way. I'm polished now. But if I run out the door, listen, give me about 2 minutes. If I come back, I was in the glory. If I don't, I got other problems. John 14. Go suit shopping tomorrow. Amen. The whole, just for y'all visitors know, you know, some folks been under the weather, but had some head colds and things like that. And so listen, don't blame us if you get a little head cold on the way home or something. I just committed this thing to the Lord a long time ago, just being in the house of God. Our church had meetings in the middle of COVID. We had meetings during COVID. We had meetings, we all had COVID. Amen. And I've been to other meetings that had COVID. Amen, Brother Vernon.
Right.
And only had one cancellation all those years because of COVID, and that's only because the man said, well, a lot of folks in our church have COVID right now. I got two in the hospital, probably not a good time to have a meeting. I thought that's the best time to have a meeting. You got folks in the hospital, it might be God trying to work, amen?
Right.
But the Lord was good to us, the Lord's gracious to us, and we survived COVID along with everybody else. There's just a few folks that we know personally that passed away, the effects of COVID. Most of them are aged, most of them are very sickly. We knew a man who was 52 years old, passed away suddenly from COVID, but it's because he wouldn't go to the hospital, and it turns out that he had a secret drinking life. And in the house of God, sitting there as a church member, said he loved the Lord, and would take that cup of the Lord, you just say amen on that.
Come on.
Had a secret drinking life, and his funeral, it came out that he'd been secretly going back to the bottle for a year and a half, died suddenly at 52 years old of COVID. Now you can believe in coincidence all you want, but you take that cup unworthily, you're in trouble with God.
Yes, that's right. Right.
If I take that cup unworthily, I'm in trouble with God.
Right.
When you're talking about Brother Green, remember Brother Green telling us years ago. And matter of fact, Brother Jack behind you there, he and I were sitting at his table. And he said this, he said that Lord's table is for secret sin. That's how God works the secret sin. He said church discipline is for outward sin. And he said, I've not seen church discipline work, but I've seen the Lord's table work a lot.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
Many among you sick.
Yeah, I've seen it.
Some even sleep. Now listen, it's not laziness either. God has a way of purifying his children.
Right.
God has a way of cleansing his church. And I've been on the receiving end of his chastisement. I've been on the receiving end of his scourging. I've been to places, it's a wonder God didn't kill me.
Oh, brother.
But thank God for his mercy.
Amen.
You say you're being harsh on folks. No, because I've been there, wondering if God would kill me.
Sure.
Sitting there looking, wondering why God didn't kill me.
That's right.
And that's not hyperbole. That's the reality.
Right.
John 14, I read one verse, you know it well. But Jesus said this, I am the way.
Lord's help, I just want to look at that little thought tonight. Preach topically. But I want to look at the way.
What does it mean to have the way, to be in the way? I don't mean that in the sense of interfering. I'm going to run quickly. If you need to listen, that's fine. Listen, I'm getting ahead of myself. I know where the verses are, so I look smart. But Matthew 3:3, he said, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make ye his paths straight. Peter, speaking of the prophecy in Acts chapter 2, the prophecy of David concerning Jesus Christ. In Acts 2 and verse 28, he said, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now we know that verse 25, David is speaking concerning the Lord. But he has known his ways. God's ways. His ways are above our ways. Thoughts above our thoughts.
But there is a way that seemeth right unto a man. And that's where the majority of people in this world by far walk. They walk in a way that seemeth right unto the man. And he looks at his way and he says, you know, this is the way I was raised. And that's pride of life. Oh, I've heard it. Do you realize that culture grows in labs, right? They grow culture in a petri dish. How many people say, that's my culture?
Now, don't be horrified by this. I got a neighbor. He's a friend of mine. He lives across the driveway from me. He was raised in the Bronx, New York. Started smoking marijuana when he was 6 years old, drinking malt,
Mickey's when he was about 8 years old. You know what he always said to me? He said, that's just the way it was in the Bronx.
He was in the gangs, spent time at Rikers. And God put him across the driveway from a Baptist preacher. Those aren't my ways.
But it say that's our culture in the Bronx.
Rap music, East Coast, never West Coast. Amen. East Coast, bro. I'm like, okay, don't bother me. Him, Brother Dale Morey get together. They start dropping hands on each other.
He saw Brother Dale last time he saw him go across the driveway, and Dale's walking out there, and he's just going to say hi to him. I mean, I watch my neighbor. He bows up. He comes up. He's like, what's up, man? Just slapping Dale. You know.
Mark right away knew who he was, knew he was from a cultural thing. But like I said, a lot of those things are just ways. My daddy taught me to drink. My daddy taught me to smoke pot. My daddy taught me this.
I learned this down at the job. I learned for the people around me. I learned my culture. This is what we do.
A way. This is the way we live. This is the manner of life in which we live.
And he said, that way seemeth right, but the ends thereof are the ways of death.
Yep.
There is a way that is God's way.
Yep. Right.
And none other.
Right.
And there is no gray. There is no lukewarm.
It's either black, white, hot, cold. There's nothing in between.
Right.
It's either God's way
or it's all others. And that way we know is the person of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
Matthew 21 and verse 8. I will slowly accelerate through this. And then we'll find that rock we need to dig out. And we'll stop there. If we don't get there, we'll be done early. Matthew 21 and verse 8, and a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. So he tells you the way. What is the way? It's a place of direction. It's a place where there's a path. It's a place. Can I say this? And I believe this is just my logic on this. Where you see the way in the physical, the way to some place, the way Jesus Christ was heading into Jerusalem. They put the garments in the way. It's a contrived path, if you will. It's something that's established ahead of time. It's something that's, I don't want to say predestined, unless you Calvinists get all glorious and run out the door. I don't think there's too many here. Are you here? A couple ladies raised their hand. Okay. Well, you're in that way. You're in a place where this is the path I'm heading on. This is the direction I'm heading. That is the way to my seat. Lest something stop me, that's where I'll be. Lest something interrupt me, that's where I'm going to be at. And so until something else takes me out of that way, I will not know another way. And so they put those palm branches in the way. Why? That's the direction, that's the place, that's the path, if you will, where Jesus Christ is heading. They know he's coming this way. They know his direction is this way. And again, you see that without interference, that way will be accomplished. Yeah. But to most, it's going to be their destruction.
Right.
For most, it's going to be their folly to the end of their days, and then hellfire awaits. Because their way was not God's way. Mm-hmm. No matter how right it seemed. And I'm not going to dig up the dirt of it if they're listening. I'm just going to say real plain. Had a church again, broke fellowship with us yesterday. It's been a couple months since one has done that. And it's odd. You know, I've never broken fellowship with the church. Isn't that strange? You say, well, you're an evangelist. No, I just think it's a waste of time. But they officially broke fellowship. So I told them, I said, well, this is what you need to do. Send a letter to my church. I'm a local church evangelist. So send a letter to my church explaining why you break fellowship. Explaining why, and this is what I was told, and this is the truth now. He said, you know, we are on the same way, but, well, that's not the same way, man, okay?
Right.
The way of Scripture, we both believe the King James Bible. I said, no, actually, you don't.
Come on. You're telling me to correct the King James Bible. Hell is not hell. The atonement's not the atonement. Nothing else is necessary according to the ideals of a man, the wrong way. I said, no, sir, we're not the same way. Enoch walked with God. He was not for, and God took him. What does it mean to walk with God? He's in the way of God.
Right. Yeah.
That's why he walked with God. Could two walk together and said they'd be agreed? No, they cannot.
Right.
And so this way has been established. This way is in the person of Jesus Christ. One of the places I'm going to look at and just kind of give you an idea a little bit of what that way is in Mark chapter 10. And I like this. In verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Now what's interesting to me, and I may not come back to this, a man who has never seen has a way. But how does he get there? It has to be an established way. But I thought of this when he received his sight. And Jesus said, go thy way. I thought, I bet his way has changed.
Amen.
When you see, you can change paths. You okay on that?
Right.
When your eyes are open, you can go a different direction.
Right.
You no longer have to operate by feeling. All of a sudden, his eyes are open. Go thy way. Why? His way is going to change. You know,
I never knew that shortcut was there.
Yeah.
I didn't realize I could walk through there.
Yeah.
Nobody showed me that. Listen, all I got to do is go around the corner. I always went that way. Just throwing that out there. That's just food for thought. I'm going to go to the book of Proverbs for a little while. I'm just going to run through these fast. I'm talking about some ways. Proverbs chapter 2, he establishes, well, to be honest, first three chapters of Proverbs establish doctrine. In Proverbs 2 and verse 20, he said this, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness. What is he established? There are ways of good men. And when the Apostle Paul said, follow me, what did he say? Follow me as I am following Christ. Follow my path as I follow the way. Good men can establish a good way. What is a good man? He's one that giveth liberally. He's one that giveth to the Lord. He's generous. He's good. And I know immediately that some of the Pharisees says, well, there's none that doeth good. No, in Christ you're wrong. You just say amen on that, Pharisee. I mean, you can do good through Jesus Christ. And good men establish good paths. But then he said this also, and keep the paths of the righteous. That tells me the righteous walk in different paths than the unrighteous. There's a contrast. The righteous walk in the paths of Christ. The righteous walk in the paths of the ways of God. That's the paths they keep. So again, there's the way of a good man. Secondly, Proverbs 4 and verse 14. The contrast is this, enter not into the path of the wicked, that's the contrast to the righteous, and go not in the way of evil men. You realize character of many today replicates good. Folks have learned the absolute depths of hypocrisy today to replicate good men. But their deeds are evil. It takes the word of God to understand that just because they look like a good man, what does a good man look like? Well, obviously he wears a suit, tie, clean shirt. All lawyers do, don't they? Amen. I heard that preacher over there said one time, he said, beware of wolves in sheep's clothing. He said, all these preachers got wool suits on. Amen. And so, again, you look at an evil man by his paths, by his ways, and you enter not into the path of the wicked, nor into the ways of the evil man. I don't know about you personally, my destruction was looking at the path of evil men. Consciously, I didn't fall into sin. Let me be real clear about that. As a teenage boy raised in the old holiness church, I didn't fall into sin. I willfully made a conscious decision to follow the paths of evil and wicked men. And my way replicated their way. What way is that? For me, maybe different than your way. His brother already testified. I believe yesterday, my way went through the bar room, went down to the party house, went into the ways of foolishness and immorality and godlessness, rejection of God. My way did not walk through the doors of a church. My way did not walk in the ways of righteousness.
Right.
My way walked in everything but that way.
That's right.
Now listen, I tried to go to church. When I got out of my home, went in the Air Force. And I got stationed of all places in Iceland. And what a wonderful place to be stationed. You're 18 years old and lonely and scared to death. Never been away from home in all your life. And I go to Iceland for a year. And they had a little chapel right across from my dorm. 75 feet probably. And in those days, I could run that in a few seconds. Now it would take me about 3 days. And they had this little husband-wife team that played the piano. And this is now this is early 90s. So they still had the little like... you know, and they'd sing these little ditties, you know, and then he'd share something. I don't even know what it was. And I'm sitting with the King James Bible. He had something else. And I got, you know, I gave it about 4 or 5 weeks. I said, this is ridiculous. And, you know, they never came and got me. They knocked on my door, never pursued it. At that point, I made a conscious decision. I wasn't going back to church.
Right.
You know what? I chose a way.
That's right.
Sure. I chose the way of evil men. I chose the way of the godless.
Right.
And I walked out of church. And they say, why did you say that, preacher? Because I've had many under our ministry that made that conscious decision.
That's right, brother. Right. Amen.
Many of them for a boy.
That's right.
You may as well say amen on that.
That's
Amen. Some of you nights are filled with lust. Some of you boys have to cinch your pants up, amen, to try to hide your lust. You're so filthy.
Right.
So ungodly. Young ladies flaunting themselves.
Right.
Flipping around. Right. Trying to get made to look at them.
Right.
I've watched them walk in that way for lust.
Yep.
What a destructive path to walk. What an awful way to walk. What a terrible way to follow evil men, the path of destruction. I know preachers' daughters who left. I said preachers' daughters who've left. God filled that lust, wanted to marry somebody outside the church.
Right.
Marry some jackleg that comes in, he plays all smooth and plays the debonair man, and he comes in and absolutely destroys their lives in sin. I know one tonight that she sells her body on the streets in Pennsylvania, addicted to drugs, covered head to toe with tattoos, miserable, hates life, hates God, sin sick. Why? She chose the path of the unrighteous man and walked in the ways of evil men. Do you suppose she stumbled into sin? Do you suppose she fell into sin? You suppose she just one day slipped up? And I always like that. They just slipped up. It's like the adulterer. He just slipped up. No, he didn't slip up. He schemed with a conscious decision to destroy his life and to change his path. And to walk in the ways of unrighteousness. I came from a broken home. I came from a home that was defiled with sin. I came from a home that was defiled with adultery. And I remember as a teenager trying to hear the justifications. I made a mistake. No, you chose the path of evil.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
I wasn't going to smoke that, but you know, everybody else was doing it. And Dad, I made a mistake. No, you chose the gateway to sin.
Yeah.
And you chose a life of sin.
Right. Yeah.
Well, all the other boys were looking at pictures, Dad. You still made a choice to look.
Right.
That way of the evil man is an alluring way. And I've watched too many fall into it.
Oh.
Some of you were not here Sunday. Some of you in your own church, thank the Lord for that. It would have been weird you had to come here. It was testified, spoken of, a young lady who was under our ministry. Many of us in here had a chance to know her, meet her, hurt for her, feel sorry for her, really. She didn't know how to be a lady, didn't know how to be a person. There's nothing real. I read the article online, middle of last week, there's a fire, house fire, I believe it's in Akron, Ohio. She was killed. She came in the house of God, sat under preaching, sat under the word of God. Never probably even clear-headed enough to make that choice of righteousness and holiness and godliness. And that's not a scare tactic. But she's dead. And I can't shake it. I got in the shower tonight and I thought about her. Her name was Carol. I won't say her last name. I thought about my wife having to go up in the choir and telling her she had to move back to the second row because she didn't have clothes that could even barely fit. And nobody made her change her clothes. You listen to me, Pharisee. Nobody made her change her clothes. We just had to put her in the second row for decency's sake. The ladies gave her a jacket to lay across her lap. She didn't know any better. She was innocent, in that sense, naive. Life had been defiled. Life had been destroyed.
Yep.
And I remember when her pastor called and said her mom's moved to Texas, was it not? I believe they first moved to Texas. So they moved to Texas. Got away from the house of God. Listen to me, young people. She's dead. You say, how do you know she didn't get saved? I don't. But her way was not God's way. I had a stepbrother. The last time I saw him and spoke to him, was impressed to speak to him again. The crowd pressed in. It was awkward, uncomfortable as the wedding. Talked about it. He rolled the car I bought him, rolled on his head. Drunk, 2:30 in the morning. Hours later, they found him laying on the highway dead. My mother said they didn't want to open the coffin. My stepfather insisted. Everybody said, no, no, with your health, you can't see. He said, that's my son. I want to see him. They opened the coffin. My mom said his head was misshapen. His body was completely deformed, laying there, been crushed by a car. And then my mom made this statement. It didn't matter what his body looked like. It mattered the condition of his soul. He chose a way. He chose the way of sin. The way of the evil man. Proverbs 16:7. Actually, let me just skip that for a minute. Let's go to Proverbs 22. Verse 6. Now, I want you to be clear, because I've heard two lines of thought on this. I'm going to tell you what the Bible says, because it's not two lines of thought on this verse. Some would say, well, if you train them up in the way they should go, and I've heard them say with my own two ears, if your child has gone astray, it's because you didn't train them upright. And that's great practical preaching with all your children in church. Isn't that wonderful? All your children love God. It's wonderful preaching when all your children love God. By the way, most people talk about their children loving God, find out a few years down the road they don't.
Right, brother.
Right.
That's right.
I'm not trying to be a critic, just stating the facts.
Right.
I've heard some men that made that statement, their children didn't love God, they just pretended to. Train up a child in the way, what is that way that he should go? Should he go there? Yeah, he should. Will he? Not necessarily. When he is old, he will not depart from it. I believe the King James Bible, I believe every word is pure, every word is right.
Amen.
Should is not an absolute with man.
That's right.
Shall is an absolute with God. Should is not an absolute. He should go in that way. And if he goes in that way, he'll not depart from that way. But many of us in here were raised in that way and still departed.
Right.
Go blame my mother for my raising. That's fine. That cause, she's 73 years old. She's probably landed in Baltimore, Washington International Airport about right now, flying back from Washington State. Call her on the phone after she's jet lagged and tired. Call her up and say, you know what, Mrs. McEwen, you did not raise your son right. My mother will weep. She'll say, no, I did not. She'll say, I did a lot of things wrong. But you know what her son would do? Her son would pull back those curtains and stop her and say, Mom, stop right in your tracks.
That's right.
I chose my way.
That's right.
I chose a path.
Right.
I chose where I went, what I did, who I met, who I followed.
Right.
You train them. God, use an illustration. Just bother some of the higher brow brother. You see, y'all don't talk about things like this. My little boy, you can tell Wanker Wanker. He's potty trained. My little boy's potty trained. It's a wonderful thing.
Amen.
Glory to God. One of the great joys of my life is my little boy being potty trained. We know the Highway 55 today. I told him he was all excited. Most places we go, we got this girl about here. He said, Daddy, I can reach. I said, be a big boy then. He was so proud. And I was proud of him. Amen. No selfies or anything. No, he's just proud of him. But let me tell you something. The other day he comes in the house, got tears in his eyes, like, Mommy. And he goes. He said, I thought he was trained. I thought you were. He is trained. He just chose a different path.
Uh-huh.
Paid a price for it, didn't he?
Sure.
And listen, I'm an adult. I normally don't do that.
He's a little boy. I'll cut him some slack. I don't think he'd get trained any better. It's just he made a choice. He could have come in,
right?
But he said, no, I'll just enjoy my time outside. And then he went, oops. Kind of like a lot of folks.
Right.
Trained right, but they're enjoying their time. They're enjoying that sin. And all of a sudden, oops.
Come on, try.
Right. You know how many young men I know called to preach? In sin. You know how many young men lives been destroyed by sin?
Yeah.
Raised in the house of God. You know how many young ladies I know raised in the house of God, they've chosen that path. All of a sudden, oops.
Right.
I know a young lady publicly has testified. There's no secret. She publicly has testified. She went out on her 16th birthday for the first time in her life. She got drunk.
Had a little baby to prove it. Her pastor's gone to the pulpit and said, young people, the first time she ever got drunk.
You know, my problem is nothing happened to me. That judgment wasn't speedily executed.
Right, sir.
And I said, oh, I got away with it now.
Nothing happened. They told me all this bad stuff would happen.
By the 20th time, nothing bad had happened. Oh, a few run-ins with the law, sure. Getting hit by cars, you know, driving off the road, hitting trees. You know, nothing major happened. I mean, none of that was a message. None of that was a warning. That was just part of life. That's just the way we chose. And all of a sudden, it's too late. You're stuck in a life of sin, in a way of evil. You say one choice?
Yeah.
It's the wrong choice.
Yeah.
You know, one of the greatest choices you'll destroy your life with tonight is, she sure is pretty.
He sure is dreamy.
Right.
Hey, young ladies, I want you to listen to me. I used to be a good-looking dude. I know you don't believe that. And I used to fool girls. Now, just shut up. I'm preaching.
I could fool them, trick them. Man, they go, oh, man, he's so good-looking. He's so big. He's so strong. I'm like, yeah, that's me. I used to wear sweatshirts with like 3 T-shirts on, so I walk around like this. I said, used to. You know what a girl would have gotten those days? She would have got a handful of hell.
Right. Right. Yep.
And some did.
Oh, brother. Right.
I met young ladies that all the boys wanted. You look at them today and nobody wants them.
Oh, brother.
I saw a news article today. I clicked on it only for the purpose. It wasn't clickbait. I personally knew the lady.
She made the front page of Fox News today. Lady we did wrestling shows with all up and down the East Coast. She became a WWE superstar, eventually with the WWE Hall of Fame. She was a sot drunk, a drug addict. I believe it's in Melbourne, Florida. She hit a man in his vehicle, 75 years old, killed him a couple years ago. They gave her 17 years. Just saw it in the news today. I want you to listen to me.
She wasn't just pretty. She was wreck your car, slam into a tree, snap your neck, looking around, don't care if your wife looks pretty. She's beautiful. She's in the WWE Hall of Fame. We used to do shows where the fans would try to break in. We'd wait behind the curtain. They'd stick their head through. We'd just plow them good. Those are the old days. It's a lot like camp meeting.
No,
nothing but fighting. I looked at that picture on Fox News. She's bloated, haggard, ugly, defeated.
Right.
She chose a way.
She chose a way.
Yep.
They stand at that crossroads, and I've been there, friend. Bitter with their parents, bitter with God. Hey, listen, I'm going to say it real clear, and I'm not trying to be funny. I'm not trying to put out. I told my niece back there, I said, young lady, the reason I have you testify is I don't know many. Now, she turned 17, but I said, I don't know many 16-year-olds living for God today.
That's right.
And I believe she's trying to live for God.
Hey, I like it.
The reason I know that is you try to compliment her, she feels like a wicked wretch. And her uncle helps her out. You are. She is.
Right.
Got a desperately wicked heart. She told you that last night if you were listening.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were listening last night when she testified. In her heart, she cursed her father and mother.
That's right.
Yeah. You say, well, what does that mean? Everybody does that.
Oh, brother.
That's because everybody's going to hell.
Yeah. Right.
You offended one point of the law, guess what, buddy? You're guilty of all.
Amen.
He said, that's enough to send me to hell? Oh, no. That's what I've said the whole hell about 10 times.
Right.
There's a lot of young people sitting there cursing their father and mother in the heart.
Right.
Bitter with their parents.
Right.
They chose that way.
Right.
Do you realize you can forgive your parents?
That's right, brother. Amen. Hallelujah.
You can forgive them while you're living.
Right.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you get Christ, it'll be easy to forgive them.
That's right. Amen.
You might not get Christ unless you do forgive them.
Right. Good.
A lot of folks just bitter over their parents, their family, their life, their upbringing.
Yeah. Right.
I've had people say, see, my home was a hell growing up. And I've told people, at least you had a daddy at home.
Amen.
I know people, their lives were beyond the norm of vileness and wickedness. 6-7 years old being raised.
Oh.
Some of you in here don't like certain people. You look down on them. They're dirty. They're weird. They're ugly. That young lady is dead. You don't know the hell that her life was.
Right.
My wife's with me. We walked up on that porch one day to try to convince her mama to come to the meet. And it was scary walking on the porch.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't even go in the door for the filth.
That's right.
Why don't you try that on your back one day? Why don't you try to live that way one day? Why don't you look at the predicament they're in, the condition they're in? I didn't have a daddy come home and cuss me out every day. Daddy kicked my ribs in. I didn't have daddy come cuss me. I know children that send that fear of that every single day. The cussings, the beatings, the kickings, the vileness. And some of us good super saints just look our nose down at their folks.
Right.
Daddy tells them they're worthless. Terrible people. You never amount to nothing. You're a scumbag. You're a blankety blank. You're this, you're that. You realize that young person still makes a choice.
Right. Sure. Exactly right.
They can choose forgiveness. They could choose mercy. They could choose grace. But instead they choose bitterness, malice, vengeance.
Yep.
Why? They love their way.
Right.
It seems so right. You know what bitter people do? I found that most bitter people seek other bitter people.
That's
right. To comfort <That's> them. Let's just be bitter together.
Right. Amen.
Bitter, not better. Okay? That twofold, it is better than one. But if you're both bitter, probably hell on earth.
Right.
Two is better than one. Where they get together, just spew that venom, that bitterness, they choose that way. And then where do they plant themselves? On the seat of a King James Bible preaching church.
Don't they do it.
And then they spew that bitterness on everybody.
That's right.
Thank you. Thank you for helping my family. Bitter Sunday school teachers, my children love it. Bitter pastors, my children love it. bitter evangelist, and I've known some. And you've known some. Me. Boy, isn't that great? Getting the pulpit with bitterness. Let me know what an idiot you are. And how awful you are. I learned something, though. It's made you get in the pulpit with a little bit of bitterness in your heart. You don't know it. And all of a sudden, the altars fill up with people that are just out there pouring their heart out to God. You know what? I think bitterness just exposes bitterness. That's a true story. Next week, God showed me, you're bitter. I said, no, I'm not. The Lord said, what? I said, oh, okay. Oh, and people crying, sobbing. Oh, I'm an awful person. They probably saw it because of me. Choose that way. That way of unforgiveness. That way of malice. That way of bitterness. It's a choice.
Right.
You can choose life, but no. Choose hatred. Choose malice. Malice, by the way, that work of the flesh. By the way, I actually wrote notes down. I know it shocks some of you. I got probably 60 verses. We've covered about 10. I could preach all night. I mean, Brother John took all my time last night. I guess I could just keep preaching. No, not you. No, there, I'm blaming you. It wasn't you. Yeah, there's two Brother Johns here.
Thank you for clearing that up.
I want to help you out. The way. They've all gone out of the way. The way of Balaam. The way of Cain. What is the way of Balaam? Can I give you my theology on the way of Balaam? Number one, he taught them fornication. He taught the children of Israel to be filthy. And then he spoke of God. It's almost like fundamentalism today.
Uh-oh.
Bunch of fornicators teach people about God. Bunch of whoremongers teach people about God. Mm-hmm. The way of Balaam. They've gone after the way of what did they do? They did it greedily. Why? There's a reward for it. Not of God. But there's a reward on this earth for it.
Right.
You know, one of the things that really changed my ministry a while ago. I go to meetings, I hear two messages. Complete all the time. Serve God, and I want to encourage you. I had a man told me, he said, Brother, I want a ministry of encouragement. And I told him in his face, I said, I don't. I said, I want a ministry of discouragement, because people don't need encouragement in what they're doing. They need discouraged from what they are doing. Oh, people all got offended by that. So that was the Bible proof. Hear the word encourage not one time in the New Testament. Not one time do you find the word encouragement in the New Testament. That's all that's preached across pulpits in America today. But you know what you do here 33 times is to exhort, exhorting, exhorted. That's not encouragement. Right. By the way, the NIV is all encouragement. Just throwing that out there.
The NASB, encourage, 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 encourage. Kind of like most meetings today.
But you know what to exhort is to challenge you verbally, to bring you up morally and in excellence of character.
Come on.
All right.
That's what exhortation. That's why he said, preach the word. Be it in season, out of season, rebuke, reprove,
and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Right. Why? It's to challenge you verbally to help you step up to live for God. Encouragement is to restore courage to someone.
And if you're not in a battle, you don't need courage. And most people aren't in a battle, so they don't need courage. But they do need told to quit living the way they're living. Right. They do need told to quit living like a hog.
Right.
They need to quit sucking their thumb. But whining about everything going on in their life, and whining about everything God's failed them. And they do need to be exhorted to live for God, walk with God, to have faith. Yes, sir. By the way, I proved that biblically. You can prove me wrong if you want, but you're not going. And then Sunday, we proved wrong with this thing of everybody serve. Everybody said, we need people to vacuum the floor, people to wash the dishes, people to mow the grass. I told one man one time, he said, Brother, I can't find people to mow the grass. I said, sell the property then. Not being funny. How did Anna serve God? She's in the temple daily praying and fasting.
That's right.
How do we serve God today? We bake brownies and pies. We have a little badge that says, usher, take up an offering.
What is your reasonable service? Present your body a living sacrifice. Who's doing that?
Uh-oh.
That means you die to your flesh. You die to your wants. You die to your body.
You put it on the altar of sacrifice. Right. You are that living bird that flies off into the wilderness.
Amen.
Where's that today? You see, it's a wrong way. It's a different way. But it seems right.
And a man withstood me several years ago. And this is what he told me. He said, your way is not the way I believe.
And then he said this. He said, we're going to have to agree to disagree. Now listen, I'm just dumb enough that I don't buy that. I said, no, we're not going to agree to disagree. We're just going to disagree. This is stupid. But let you and I agree to disagree. No, we're just disagreeing. There's no agreement in disagreement. You're wrong.
He's here in a different way. I said, yeah, we are in a different way. I believe the Bible. And that is a different way.
That's right.
Try to live for God. That is a different way. I don't want to walk in the way of Balaam. I don't want to walk in the way of Cain. Don't want to walk in the way of an evil man. Don't want to walk in the way of an unrighteous man. Don't want to walk in the way of unrighteousness. I want to walk in a way that is pleasing to God. Amen. That way. The only way.
Good.
There's just one caveat. It's the way of salvation, by the way. It's the way of peace. It's the way of the Lord. It's the way of righteousness. But that way is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Proverbs says the way of understanding. It's Jesus Christ. He is the way. Ideals, philosophies, opinions, all these things that stifle people, destroy people, lead them astray, make them walk in paths of unrighteousness. The whole time, the Word of God points to one place.
Amen.
The way.
That's right.
The way. So what did the psalmist say? Search me, O God, know my heart. And see if what? There be any wicked way.
Amen.
In me.
Why?
Certainly not us. You see, there is a way wherein I have walked, the psalmist said. That's past tense, by the way, walked. Later on, he speaks of the present tense, walking. And what does he do? He walketh. He continues on. This walk with God is not short term.
A walk with God is not just a daily flippant thing, back and forth, flip a switch. No, it's a walk. What does that mean? It's a continual walk.
But you can't do that unless you're in the way. It's the only way.
Ideals, philosophies. Listen, I've heard, been in ministry long enough, you hear enough philosophies and ideas, and I think this is the, and I think this is the key.
You know, people say, Brother McVay, what's the key to keeping children? You know, in a King James Bible preaching church. And I'll be honest with you, I just tell them, quit shoring them up.
Come on.
Which I watch people shore them up, and all of a sudden the waves come, the storms come, they're gone.
Right.
Kick the props out young.
Amen.
Amen. Kick the props.
Tell them what they are young.
Right.
They come in dressing in a whorish fashion, tell them. You see them bitter with their parents, call them out.
Right.
You say, want to hurt their feelings? No, I said they're young people, they're not old people.
I said, then I'm old. You know, you get your feelings hurt. All you old folks, just go ahead and raise your hand. Amen. Yeah. More sensitive. There's no key to it. I see them seemingly live right for 15 years. Gone.
I've seen them preach for 20 years. Gone.
Sure.
Seen wives all of a sudden after years of marriage just fed up. Gone.
Right.
I know a wife that went in the building, waited until she heard the car in the driveway, her husband heard a pop, he opened the garage door, she's sitting in the chair, have her face blown off. 40 plus years, I think 50 plus years of marriage. There's no rhyme or reason. There's no one key. There's no flip a coin, let's figure out, let's try to garner this out. No, it's simply this. Folks, get out of the way.
Yeah.
Their ways are not God's ways. And they get out of the way. Now, be real clear, and I'm done. I promise I'm done. See, what does it take to get out of the way? A look. A look. David looked. He followed the pattern of Scripture, by the way. James wrote about it. And after he looked, he lusted. He lusted. He went and laid for his sin. And then the sword came to David's house. He lost sons. He paid greatly for sin. How do you keep in the way? Quit looking the other way.
Come on.
Quit eyeballing that other path. You young people, don't look at that broad path for reasoning, for guidance. Everybody on that broad path is headed to hell without fail. The good people are headed to hell. The nice people are headed to hell. The religious people are headed to hell. We look for a pattern. We look for something. You know, I want to be a nice person. You know, I've known people. So I like they flip the switch. You know, I'm going to be nice. And they just all of a sudden, they become a nice person. I never flipped that switch, but I don't really want to. I don't care. You know, it's like somewhere in somebody's life, they go, you know, I made a conscious decision. I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, they flip this switch. And then they say, well, that must be God. But you realize you can do all those things in the power of your flesh. But the one thing you cannot do in your power of your flesh is walk in the way of Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's impossible. Search me, O God. Know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me. This path's narrow. It's straight. It's not going to diverge from where it is. What happens is people looking around. Or people on that broad place saying, this must be the way. I'm almost done. The popular way. The cool way. The hip way. The trendy way. This must be the way. Gone. You're out. Asaph wrote that great psalm. In Psalm 73, his feet had almost slipped. He was almost gone. Why? He saw the prosperity of the wicked. What's wrong with that? They weren't in his way. They weren't in God's way. He almost slipped. But in verse 20, he went where? To the house of the Lord.
Amen.
And you can be almost gone. Come into the house of the Lord. And God put you in the way.
Amen, brother.
Pastor.
Amen.
Page 222. There is a fountain.